going on, peoples? I'm in my kitchen, nobody's home. I was in Colorado. God, that state's so pretty. It's such a... I was under the impression that Colorado is always freezing. Just like upstate New York. I live in New Jersey, but growing up, my brother moved to the mountains. Up in the Catskill Mountains. And man, you go up there by the end of August, September, it'd be freezing at night. And then by October, it's like, yeah, we got our first snowfall. Like, wow, God, how can you... Ugh. So there's times where I go in Colorado and I go, I think I could live in a place like this. But the cold, I do not like cold. I can't stand the cold. I like sweatshirt weather. While I was in Colorado, I noticed that Paul McCartney's on tour. I saw him once at the Apollo Theater in New York. And when I saw him, I gotta say, I was completely blown out of my mind. A, because it's a small venue. B, I remember showing up, and this is for satellite radio, it was Sirius Satellite Radio. And Will Ferrell's behind me. Matt Damon is there. Alec Baldwin, Howard Stern, Paul Simon. I think I saw Billy Joel. It was just an A-list celebrity zoo. It really was. It was like going to the zoo. Are you here for the celebrity zoo? I am. That and SNL's 40th reunion was literally a celebrity zoo. Everywhere you went, like, wow, there's... Is that Leonardo DiCaprio? If you look to your right, you'll find Bradley Cooper, who's had a string of very successful roles in movies. Just to your left of him, that would be Steven Spielberg talking with George Lucas, perhaps for the future Star Wars, perhaps for owning the entire world between the two of them when they put their money together. If you look just to the right, that is the great Jack Nicholson. May remember some of his roles in the early years. If you look just to the right, there's Sylvester Stallone, who is working on Rocky 14 and 15 as we speak.
You hang out with them coconuts, you get nowhere. They're lemons. Lemons. You hang out with nice people, you get nice friends. You understand?
What a wonderful day here at the concert. Paul McCartney, and here comes Ozzy Osbourne. Here comes Ozzy. Everyone's coming to come see Paul McCartney.
He's the one who started everything for me, and it all comes down to Paul.
If you ask any of the guys, they all say that. I've had conversations with the singer of AC/DC. All he talks about is Paul McCartney. Especially the bands from England. Everybody talks about Paul McCartney. He's the king. He's the god. He's the one. Now, I'm in Colorado. While I'm in Colorado, I went, I'm going to get tickets for Paul McCartney. So I go on the internet, and they're pretty much sold out, so you have to go to these other ticket broker lines. And the section I really wanted a section 25. And there was a section across from it. 25 was directly to the right of the stage, on the side. I didn't want to be on the floor, because if you get some big head in front of you, or some guy's like 6'9" and his torso is 6 feet long, I don't like being on the floor. If I'm not in the first three rows, I don't want anything to do with being on the floor, because that it's just the worst. You can't. You stand and this gorilla stands, and you know. Or some lady, she got her hair all poofed up. I want this section. I want section 25. I'm looking up. It's like $800. And I went, do I really, really? I wanted to bring my daughter. I really wanted to bring my middle one. Because my middle one likes the Beatles. I remember when she bought her very first vinyl. She went to... I forgot what state we were in, and we're traveling around, and she bought a vinyl. And she, as she came up to me, I'm like, "Dad, can I buy a couple vinyls?" And I went, "Do you have a plane?" She's like, "I just ordered one." I'm like, "All right. I mean, vinyl, that's what you want?" She goes, yeah, I'm fine. She came with Led Zeppelin and she came with Sgt. Pepper and the White Album. Wait, you know how proud I was as a dad? It was a very cool moment. I'm like, "You like," and she played it over and over and over. It was so, I went, you know what, if it'd be a really good daddy-daughter thing to go check out Paul McCartney. I'm going outside. It's beautiful outside. How great would that be? But it's $800. And I haven't even gotten there yet. 800. So, all right, let me look at some other sections. Then I'm going, do I want to sit down, you know, in the back of the arena? The back of the arena can get me in for like, I don't know, it's probably $200-$300. All right, so now I'm dropping $600-$700 before I show up for a concert. Yeah, plus he's 75, so who knows how long he's going to be around. He may be dead. Paul McCartney ain't going to be here longer. He may pull off another 5 years. Who knows? But touring-wise, this may be it for him. So it's a big decision. Is Paul McCartney worth dropping this much money for a father-daughter night, for a classic moment, for a Beatles? I mean, the list of songs go on and on and on. I don't know if I should do this. I didn't pull the trigger. Did not pull the trigger. Next day I wake up, like, you know what, let me just look again. So I start looking again, and I'm seven. I found another site. All right, this one's $600. This one's 500. This one's 800. Everything section 25, 800 something bucks. I don't want to do this. I finally just kind of forgot about it. Now what happens? I pick my daughter from school, and somebody went and saw Paul McCartney. Someone's parents saw Paul McCartney and said it was the greatest thing ever. And she starts talking about Paul McCartney. And my brother-in-law went and saw Paul McCartney. And he said, "Oh, the man was amazing. Played for 3 hours. The song list was tremendous. It was just one of the best nights we've ever had." I went, "Oh, what am I doing here?" So I get back on, and I'm looking online again. I said, it's just a lot of money. I got a septic tank. Some of you have a sewer from your town or from your city, and you don't have to. I have a septic tank. And this thing is shot. So I have to have it replaced. You know how much a septic tank and field goes for? $30,000 to $40,000. Ow! So, what's I gotta do? We got all this work we have to do in the house. It's just, houses are a lot of money, and it never ends. Never ends. The bills just keep every day. The doorbell rings. Bing bang. Who's that? Another bill. Another bill. What is this one for? Well, your water heater, my water, your heat for your water? Yeah, except for the problem is this thing's out of style, and actually, I don't know who installed it, but it never really was for this size house. Yeah, when they first built these homes, they didn't know what they were doing. They just flopped them together like teepees. That's every story of every freaking neighborhood. You know, they didn't really need permits, so they were allowed to, like, put dead people and animals in your backyard and just kind of mix it in with the well tanks. And that's why your well isn't good, because now, like, the bones have rotted into most of the well walls and
the sides of the walls and broke through. It's just, you know, back then, 15 years ago, what are we in the Stone Age? What are you talking about? Lived in this house 18 years. He's freaking, we're playing wiffle ball during my mom's, I don't know, the day my mom passed away. And we're in my backyard, family's here, and we break out in a wiffle ball game, me and my little nephews, and it was fun. People were laughing, telling stories and all that jazz, and we start playing wiffle ball, and there's a section where we're playing that just smells like ass. It smells horrible. And there's also this weird little patch of grass that's wet. So every time the ball would go over there, you'd have to be careful because it was muddy and you'd slip in it. But it was like, why is this area muddy? Like, did it rain last night? And it just, this area's having a hard time drying up. And as the day went on and the more we ran over it, the more like ass it smelled. And then we started looking, like, that white trash neighbor, lets their dog out, lets them run around wherever. And the thing always comes in the yard and drops a deuce and it goes back in the house. And she does it at 5 a.m. when no one's paying attention, no one can see him. I know I've heard this thing barking in the yard a couple times. And I didn't mind because we are good neighbors. But now I mind because now it smells like ass. And it's probably your dog's ass. So now that's going on. And bashing them for like 20 minutes. Someone's responsible for this ass smell. They can't be just a pile of wow, what is that? Sitting in the middle of your lawn.
You hear me, Larry? Larry!
Crazy animal!
Who's an animal? Right. Your mother's an animal, yeah. You son of a bitch!
Oh.
You're gonna find your dog dead in the hallway tomorrow, yeah. Huh?
So then, we had someone come out and they're like, yeah, this is septic related. What do you mean? So these two bananas come. This is another one. For my mom's burial, my mom is a big Mets fan. So for her burial, we thought, you know what? Oh, and it was in Queens. Now, we all live in Jersey and we're out Long Island. So to be buried in Queens, very, very inconvenient, Mom. Thank you. Very inconvenient. But she wanted to be buried with her father and blah, blah, and I get it. So I set up the whole funeral thing. I'm talking with my sister and I'm like, you know, it's at 11... It's like 11 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. is the burial or the service because you need, you know, the clergyman. And I look up and the Mets are playing a day game. I went, wouldn't this be sick if we could all go to the Mets game right at the mom's burial? How funny would that be? Long story short, that's exactly what went down. I rented a bus, got everyone on that bus. We all went to the funeral, burial, and then we all went to the Mets game. And the Mets set up with this ridiculous suite. It was like a 30-person suite. It was amazing. There was my niece and nephew have not talked to each other since pretty much when their mom passed away and my dad passed away. It was right around the same time. But before we went to the game, those guys showed up here. The septic guys show up at like 7:30 in the morning. So, yeah, you know, it probably just needs to be cleaned out or whatever, and we'll look into it. I said, really sorry, we're going to a burial. Yeah, no problem. This was literally Lauren Hardy. You ever see Lauren Hardy? But whatever. And listen, if you're a smoker, all power to you. But when you show up at someone's house on a job, I don't care if you're the plumber, whatever. He shows up and he's in my yard, you know, with the cigarette dangling from his mouth, smoking. Like, dude, You're a mess. You just, I don't know. Is that, you don't do that, right? You don't, if you're going to smoke, you're going to wait till your break time and you go in your truck or you go walk down the street or something, no? Do you do it in your customer's yard and all that without asking?
No way. What is this garbage?
Like my wife gets sick when she smells cancer. She's on cancer treatment pills. Are you just that unaware? You just don't care? I don't know. It's weird. To me, it's weird. 30 years ago, no. 40 years ago, no. Now, it's a little weird. Guy's choking, coughing. Yeah, we're gonna...
we should have this, you know, we're gonna put a little snake in there and just clean the pipes out.
You're a mess. So, we go to game. It's amazing. We go to burial. I don't even know who the Mets are playing. I don't even remember the game. I don't remember if they won. I don't know what happened. I just know there was a moment when I turned around and I saw people that haven't talked to each other in a long time. Long, long time. And they were laughing together. That's what I remember from that day. So now the game is over. We all hop back on this bus. We're heading back home. It's a little bus. It's one of them, you know, 18, 20 passenger deals. Heading back. Of course, every female on the bus has to pee at least 5 times. So now we got to find, and they don't understand. Like, we're driving through Harlem on the Harlem River Drive. We're driving through parts of Jersey that aren't the greatest. We really have to pee. Like, well, I understand that. But you should have known that the bus doesn't have a urinal and you should have peed before we left. Isn't that common sense? Well, can't we pull over? No, I'm not pulling over on 125th and 5th in Harlem. No. With a bus of white people that never been out of their own neighborhood? Like, are you crazy? Hi, is there somewhere? Can we use your bodega to pee? No.
Hey, excuse me, Holmes? Aha. What it is, bro? We're from out of town.
No shit.
So that was another fiat. That was another project trying to find, and we end up finding this little. I don't know. I thought we were in another country. No, everyone spoke Spanish. Everything was written in Spanish. I was like, screw it. Just all right. If you got to pee that bad, let's do it right here. We went there. I don't know what. I don't know where it was. I have no clue. I just know everything was in Spanish, and I feel like it was off Route 46 or Route 80 in Jersey.
Come again. You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Now heading back, and we get snacks and all fruit. My wife's buying fruit. My wife always buys fruit. I'm going to get blueberries and strawberries because it's really good for you. And this is, now we start heading home. We're tired, had a long day. Some people drinking, some people emotional. It's my mother. Come all the way back to my house. The septic guys are still there. They're still here. So what is going? Oh, we got a hose stuck in one of your pipes, and I don't know how to get it out. They got stuff stuck underground in my septic. They cut the wires and just let them because they couldn't get it out, and they just hand me a bill for like $500. See the balls on humanity.
Sorry, we didn't fix it. We're not really sure, and we trashed the place. $500, please. And you mind if I smoke in your face?
Like, was this just a mob hit? What just happened?
All I know is I'm the bearer of bad news. You gotta get another septic.
All right, now. So that's a big. When someone says septic, they're not talking $5,000, $10,000. It's 30 to 40. Pushing more in the 40. The septic may be like 30 something, 32, 33 grand. But now you got to get a guy who comes out here as an engineer. He's an engineer. And he surveys your land and takes samples from your soil. And he costs $2,000 to $3,000. And then there's these permits and certain things with the town. And oh, we didn't know. And, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when they built this house. That's every neighborhood.
So, you know, when they built these homes, they didn't make the roofs right, and they didn't do anything right. They just slopped it together.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly how it went down. It has nothing to do with you being shady wanted to take money out of me. It's unbelievable. I think they changed laws just so they can make money off dumbasses like you and I. So I got a lot of big bills. I got this new marketer I'm working for. He's so far, you know, I'll find out what he's doing. I'm excited about him. He's got great ideas. I think we both have good ideas. Everyone's a little leery of him. I'm not. But that's another bit. That's an expense. It's another monthly expense. My whole back deck is shot. It's another 30 grand. So I'm looking at 70 grand. $70,000 at the bare minimum. Very bare minimum. I'm going to say it's up. I'm going to say 80. My back patio by the pool's all cracked. That's going to be another 20, 25. I'm looking at $100,000 before I make a cent this year. Oh, did I tell you the oldest one's in college? You know, she couldn't go, you know, they're going to community college where they, or a college that costs less than 10, 15 grand. Thank God I got 16 grand off her tuition a year. Or else that's like 48 grand. That would be 150, that's 140 grand now. I still haven't counted my other two kids. I still haven't counted the fact that an agent takes 10% of all your money. Of a lawyer that's a go-through, he's 300 bucks an hour. You got to pay a publicist. It's insanity when I sit there and really think about it. So at the end of the day, are these Paul McCartney tickets worth it? This is what it all comes down to. This is what it all comes down to. Yeah, you know, when I think of my overhead, I have a, you know, people just think like, oh, you know, you make money and that's it. No. No. I guess something coming from Amazon every other day delivered to my house. What is this? Oh, you know, kids need this and that. And what? How much? What? I feel like my house is one big slot machine. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Whoops, lost again. Sorry, pal. No triple apples on this roll. So my house is one big freaking slot machine that never pays out. Good God. And while I'm doing that, my wife's looking at second homes. I said, what do you... What, you want to redo the bathroom. You want to redo the entire deck. You want to redo the patio area. You want to redo the basement. How much do you think that's going to cost? I mean, that's like $80? Oh, yeah, the septic, too. That's another 30, 40 grand. Just 2000. Welcome to 2018, Jim.
Happy New Year.
And oh, God, taxes are the best. I love the taxes once you're over a certain bracket. They're just, oh, it's amazing when you go out and you go, hey, it's a sold-out show. Good luck. You're only getting half your money. Oh, no, I take that back because percentages and the business people get. I come home with about 20 to 25% of my money at every show, if I'm lucky.
Madness.
I don't want to turn this into a moan fest. I just want to make an awareness. Just an awareness.
Stay woke!
Just a little awareness, that's all. Not complaining. Just awareness. I'm waiting for something to show up from Amazon today. So anyway, I keep looking for these McCartney tickets. I can't find a decent seat under 300 bucks. I thought maybe I'll wait till the night before. That was my game plan. I'm going to wait till the night before. And then, because tickets usually, they get cheaper the closer to the date because the brokers just want to get rid of them. Maybe like 2 days later, I get an email. Joe, who plays in my band, his wife Amy. Amy sends me an email. Would you and Dee be interested to go and see Paul McCartney? Here are all the dates, and it was all for this week. Here are the dates. I can get tickets. All right. Oh my God. What? I was talking about doing this all week. I don't know if Dee would want to go, but I definitely would want tickets, and I would want to bring my daughter. She comes back, well, these people we know, I think I can have a private suite. So I'm thinking, oh my God, we could be in a suite. Cause whenever I think suite, I think like a ball game or a concert event. And you have this own little room with a bartender and there's food and just, it's the greatest experience. It's amazing. It's amazing. So how much? And she goes, and just let me know how many tickets. So I asked Dee, would you be interested? My wife goes, no. So I want to bring Kelsey. She goes, bring the little one. I went, no, I'm not going to bring a kid to a concert. She doesn't know any song. I end up asking my youngest daughter. She said, Dad, I don't know any of his songs. I said, great. It'll be just me and Kelsey. I'll keep it a secret. How much do I owe you? No, no, no. This is a thank you. This is a thank you. I said, no, how much I owe you? It's from the, it's all good. Thank you. What section does she have? 25. Row 2. And we were halfway through the concert before anyone even sat in front of us. I saw this, I flipped out. I went, do you realize this section I've been trying for the last 30-something hours? I would just keep going back. I want a section 25. So please, please find me one doofy guy that's not paying attention. He wants to drop this for $200. Section 25, row 2, seats 1-2 at the Barclay? Brooklyn? Whatever Jay-Z's place, the Barclay Center in Brooklyn. The Barclay Center in Brooklyn. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was freaking ecstatic. Are you sure you don't, I don't know you any, I'll pay. She's like, no, no, no. So we get to go to the suite for the pre-show. Then we go to our seats. Then we go back to the suite after. When, oh my God, this is crazy. I thank you so much. And McCartney's one of those guys for me. I'm not an A-lister. I can't just call someone up, go, can you tell him Jim Brewer would like 2 tickets for Paul McCartney, Sir Paul? Tell him Jim was the GOAT on SNL in the 90s. Very popular character, has a doll. Very cult movie, going on a 20-year anniversary of next year with David Chappelle. It's called Half-Baked, Jim Brewer's story. Can you just let them know? He let Sir Paul know that this big name would like 2 tickets, please, and to be set up as well as possible. I'll wait on your call and email. Thank you. Yeah, no, I don't have... No. I don't have that swagger. I may have swagger like that. May. With the Mets. If I'm lucky. I don't have swagger like that. I like that some people... You know, my wife will go, can you call? I'm like, I'm not... No. Because I know where I know where I stand. And speaking of standing... So, yeah, we went to Paul McCartney last night. Before we even get to that, standing behind us was Emma Stone. I don't want to brag, but I was 2 rows ahead of Emma. Just saying. Who's an A-lister now, Emma? Huh? Huh? Still rocking it from the 90s, baby. Yeah, my door's like, Dad, look, 2 rows behind us. Emma Stone's directly behind us. Like, I really don't care. She's a great actress. I love her. I love all the stuff she does. She's young, and she's got a great career. I don't care. If you told me, Bruce Dickinson standing behind me, I might peek. Might give a little peek. Whatever. Celebrities don't do it for me anymore. They really don't. I think the only one that would be Eddie Murphy. And I had my chance to meet him, and I dropped the ball. I was too nervous. He's the only guy I would be nervous. Just to say, wow. Like a rock band. You were my driving force as a teenager. You were the inspiration. You were the guy. You're the one I imitated. You're the one I watched everything you did. Just like a band listening to every record, just buying those tickets to go see the concert, sleeping over the concert. That Eddie Murphy was that, and I never got to meet him. I always wanted to meet him.
Tito, get me some tissue.
But, yeah, so Emma's stone is behind me, and my daughter's like, oh, wow. That's... And then we were laughing, like, yeah,
we're closer. We got better seats.
Listen, I'm not going to lie to you, too. A couple times, I would pretend I was really into the concert, which I was into the concert anyway. Every song he did, it seemed like he did 60% Beatles songs. A couple Wings, 20% Wings, 20% just Paul McCartney. It was great. It was an amazing show. But
I'm not gonna lie to you.
So, with the Emma Stone thing, I would perhaps mouth the words a little too much during certain songs when I knew in the back of my mind there was a part of me going, I kind of. Does Emma Stone, like, know who I am? Like, does she go, oh, my God, that's that comedian. I really like that guy. I've listened to him on Howard. That's Jim Brewer. That was so, oh, my God. I used to listen to him with his stories of his dad. That's so cool. There was part of me that really wanted that. I'm not going to lie to you. But I wouldn't give the time. I wasn't going to look back at her. I didn't want to notice her. But there was a part of me, like, I would, hey, Jude. Every song that was like Beatles, I would, Helter Skelter. Oh my God. I thought I was, Paul McCartney can rock. I didn't realize, I mean, his stuff isn't hard rock, but he's got some, you could see where a lot of musicians are influenced by this. And the time period of being influenced by this, it's unbelievable. It's like watching a history book, watching this guy perform. But yeah, when he's doing Helter Skelter, I'm doing the whole words and rocking my head, putting my hand up and singing along. But there was part of me going, is Emma looking at me right now? I'm not attracted, and I didn't want, it's the vanity. Is Emma looking at me right now? Is she saying, look at Jim Brewer enjoying his night with his daughter? What a cool guy. What a great man. That was on my head the whole time. So I shouldn't pretend like I don't care. I did care. I cared big time. I wanted Emma to say hello. I just wanted to say I think you're really cool. I love listening to you on Howard. Maybe one day we'll work together. That's all.
No way.
Would have made my night. I could have done the whole pawning off on my daughter thing. My daughter wouldn't know if she can get a picture with you. Is that cool? My daughter wanted to say she just thinks you're amazing. I could have done that. Oh, by the way, please don't ever do this to anyone or any celebrity or who you think is a celebrity. Don't roll up on someone with your phone saying, hey, my wife, my friend, my kid, a big friend, and can you just say hello? You know how uncomfortable that is? Weird. It's rude. Don't do that. I was hanging out with my daughter yesterday. We're waiting before we went into the Barclays Center. And the guy comes up with his phone. And I'm thinking he just wants to take a picture, which is fine.
Hey, my girlfriend's on the line. She's a huge fan. Just say hello.
Like, dude, like, what are you thinking? I don't want to, and I said, I don't want to talk to her. You know, they look at, now I'm the ass. I'm talking to my daughter. I'm talking to two friends of mine. Like, that's just so, so weird. Don't do that. Whoever you're a fan of, don't make an ass of yourself. Just enjoy the moment. Look at the person and go, wow, that's so-and-so. How cool is that? How cool is that? I don't mind people come up and they say, hey, can we take a picture? I don't mind. But don't have someone on the phone and make me talk to them now. It drives me nuts. And I instantly, here's a little inside tip. I immediately don't like you. I immediately am turned off by you. Sometimes they'll just hand you the phone, and the person on the other line is uncomfortable too. They don't know what to say.
Hey, I know you guys don't know each other, and you just here. It's can you giggle so she knows it's you?
Come on, dude, tighten up.
This is the music we tighten up with.
You want me bad like a goat? Like what do you dance around like a monkey? What do you get your act together? What's going down? Why do you? I'm not.
Listen, I'm excited they know. I'm excited that it gives them happiness and joy, and they're probably going to go see another show of mine. Just don't come up to me, or don't come up to anyone you love as a fan. Don't do that with the phone.
Can you just be cool? Once, please. Just once.
It's moronic. It's rude. It's selfish. Don't do it.
Take a selfie of you with them in the background. Do that.
And some people don't like that stuff at all. I don't mind. I like saying hello. I'm a people person, so I don't mind. I love when people come up to me and they go, hey, I watched that thing with your dad. Hey, I read your book. Hey, I've seen you a couple times. Blah, blah, blah. I love what you do with your mother. I love, I love what you do with your father. You're real. Just that. Great. Boom. We're done. We're not going to go to dinner. We're not going to... But those conversations, great. I had a long conversation in Colorado. This was interesting. So I'm in Colorado Springs, which downtown looks like... Downtown Colorado Springs looks like they shipped in hundreds of homeless and mentally ill people and dumped them on the streets.
Oh, yeah.
That is a horrible downtown. Colorado Springs is a terrible downtown area. Horrible. It's has a creepy vibe. It's got a little bit of a dirty vibe. You don't know if you're gonna. You shouldn't be in college. You shouldn't be anywhere walking down the street and people yelling, talking to themselves, going through the garbage. What happened? It's not just one or two. It's loaded. One of the biggest homeless populations I've ever seen touring. Denver, years ago I went, I was really taken back by how many people were there. I saw more homeless and deranged, poor and deranged individuals in Boulder, in Colorado Springs walking downtown than probably Manhattan.
That's right, it stinks! It stinks! Some place stinks!
I don't know who the mayor is or what their deal is, but you dropped the ball horrendously over there. You don't have abandoned buildings somewhere that you can get funding to start doing something. You know, people, when I was in New York City, we had those problems. Giuliani. Oh, Giuliani's this and Giuliani. Yeah, but I give him credit. He took everyone off the street. Oh, he's throwing him in jail. He wasn't throwing him in jail. You give them a place to sleep for the night, and you bring them into shelters. And when they were at the shelters, they would say, you can stay here, but you have to work here. You can't just stay here. If you're going to stay here for the night, you got to help here. Help pass out soup. Help do crackers. Help do the blankets. Help each other. Build a little confidence. That's what you want to do. What's going on in Colorado Springs? What are you doing over there? What happened? Would your city lose a bet? Did you lose a bet? Okay, if this happens, I'll take all the homeless. If this happens, I'm bringing all the homeless to you. Deal. Deal, Clarid. You got it, Chad. What is going on? So it was after the show. Show was great. Every city I played over there, Boulder, Silverthorne, Denver, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins might have been my favorite. They were all great. They were all great areas. So after the show, it's my last night. I've been gone 10 days. I really miss D. I really miss the kids. Really miss D and the kids. I just want to see them. I just want to be around them. I don't mind if they're bickering. It's just anything. I just want to be around family. I love being around family. I love sitting in my yard, just listening to birds. There's that very boring
easy side of me. So it's the last night. I go into I'm wired. The shows were done by like 9:30, 10 o'clock, so I'm all wired. I decided to go get I go to the bar. Now the place is crawling with people all spoofed up. So clearly it's a big catering place where I'm staying at. I think the Boulder, no, where it was Colorado Springs. If you go to downtown Colorado Springs, there's one tremendous, enormous hotel, classy place, little foo-foo. It's very old. That's where I was staying. So I walk in there. It's the end of the night. Change my clothes. So I go downstairs. I'll grab one glass of wine, one mug of beer, wind down, go to bed, get ready to go home. I go to the bar. It looked like they were having a wedding there. There was all this huge, it was just a lot of people in gowns, a lot of women in gowns, men's suits. I thought I saw a tuxedo too. I don't know. I'm just assuming it's a wedding. I grab a beer. I sit. There's a bunch of people at the bar. I don't go in near any of them. I go in a corner by this little sitting section. It's a good, I don't know, 50, 75 feet away from everyone. And I'm watching these two older women sit down. They're talking. They have their gowns on. And I thought they were the two mother-in-laws talking to each other. That's where I... So I'm trying to listen to them, and I don't know, they were talking about kids. Then out of nowhere, this woman comes up, and she's probably my age, maybe younger. She went, "Oh, are you in town doing a show?" I said, "Yeah, I was doing a show." "You mind if I sit here for a second?" Like, "Oh God, I don't know." "Sure." She sits down. A guy comes over and she starts telling me she just needed to talk. She starts talking about her special needs son and her husband. And this was a great night out. Her and her husband go through a lot, and a special needs kid. She loves this kid so much, but he's a special needs kid. It's, you know, the whole shebig, a wheelchair, all that jazz. She takes care of him. He takes care of him. And she wasn't complaining. She was just saying, like, she's blessed and, she, you know, the love and this event and all this jazz. Someone else came over and they start talking about, wow, what a great event. We raised a lot of money, da-da-da. And then another guy comes up to me. And he starts talking. He's like, "Hey, how you like downtown?" I said, "It's nasty." He goes, "I know, the homeless, blah, blah. We're working on it." I said, "Oh, you're... Are you in the government?" He goes, "No, but I did this charity." I said, "What is it?" I thought this was a wedding. He goes, "No, it's for abused children and children in need. And we do fundraising so we can raise money to help them with supplies and stuff like that. And they need therapy after abuse and all this other stuff." And he hands me his card. And I'm thinking he's a government official. He's a pot vendor. He owns like most of the vendings in Colorado Springs. This is why Colorado's doing it right. I was completely blown away. I went, you're who now? Organics. What is organics? He goes, "Yeah, we do all the dispensaries. We have all the dispensaries, and you should come in one time or come to the fields where we make everything." What? This guy is doing charity. Now, I'm assuming it's all going to a good place, but Colorado is setting an example for it. Whether you're for marijuana or against marijuana, I, with my own two eyes, with conversation, still have his business card. And this woman talked to me for the longest time about her special needs kid. So I know it was legit. And the other person talked to me about
an abused, I mean, I was really taken back by that. These were great, strong people and a lot of passion, a lot of caring. And here's the guy that's putting it all together, him and some other people that run dispensaries. And they hooked up with some hospitals and like, dude, that is the part where it's going to be 50 years from now, just like the way alcohol at one time was illegal. There's going to be a time when our grandkids or kids get older and go, that stuff was illegal when you were growing up? Like, people were arrested? Oh, yeah, and they did long time. Are you kidding me? No. People went to prison for that. It's mind-boggling.
Madness.
But it was a great trip. Really, really such a good time. Beautiful, beautiful cities. Got to see some friends. It was really nice. But now I'm back heading out to Detroit, Michigan, Friday, which you're probably listening to today. Then I do New Jersey, New Brunswick State Theater. Then I head to Pennsylvania. I really like where I'm going. Jim Thorpe in Hanover. Next week when I'm there, it is absolutely stunning. I played there last year. I loved it so much. I called my agent up, Matt. Said, Matt, please, if they want me back, can I come back here? I loved, absolutely loved these two little towns. Gorgeous, mountain country, foliage is turning. The foliage is starting here in the Northeast, and it's breathtaking. I'm off the third week in October, and I was thinking about going upstate New York, but then my oldest daughter called me, the one in Florida. She got evacuated, now she's back in school. And I had the moment. I miss her. I miss her. I'm not sitting home crying and sobbing, but I miss her. And I can't wait to hang out with her. She's a young adult, and I like listening to her growing and emotionally growing and talking. And so she called me the other day, and she's talking about all this stuff and emotions she's going through, and ex-boyfriend, how much she loves school, and this friend and that friend and that's and she's going through all this stuff, and then she goes, "Could you come visit me?" Went, oh my God, my heart almost sank. I said, I'd love to. She goes, yeah, I just want to go to dinner. Went, oh, would love to do that. And you know what? All the cool things I've done a lot of cool things. I love my life. I'm not going to lie to you. I love my life. And I know we all go through very difficult times. We all have family issues. We all have struggles that we're trying to get through. You know, my wife today is in Philadelphia getting treatment for her cancer. Thank you, UPenn, Philadelphia. That's another thing. Like last night, she's like, I'm going to go to Philadelphia because her treatments were early this morning. I have to go to Detroit. And last night, she was so excited that it was just be me and my middle one, Kelsey, going to see the Beatle, go to see McCartney. And we leave each other notes and stuff like that. That's another thing. For all you people married, whatever, it doesn't take a whole lot. Don't watch the news. Take a second. Every time you're about to watch the news, see what's going on with Trump, and Trump sucks, or this one sucks, or Hillary sucks, or blah, 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 everyone there. Just before you get caught up in that emotional madness.
Madness.
Is there someone that you really love? Your daughter, your son, your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife. Take that energy that you're about to waste.
Well, you know, we shouldn't be doing that.
It's such wasted energy.
and reach out and use that energy and do something really awesome for someone else. And don't expect anything in return. And the more you do it, watch what happens. Watch the results. You know, every time I go away, I'll get to where I am and I'll find a little note from my wife that she stuck in one of my pants pockets knowing I was going to do that. Like, you know, it's little, but it's comforting knowing they're still thinking of you. So she was going down to the hospital yesterday, and we were rushing out of the house trying to get ready, going to go see McCartney, and I was so excited. I had time to run up into my bathroom and write this really cool note, and I stuck it in her pocketbook where I know she has to go into, her purse, her bag, whatever. It's cool. She woke up. I got that message this morning. Like, did you leave this note? No, it was your lover, dopey. Of course I left it. We think Orlando Bloom is writing to you? Tom Cruise and Johnny Depp and the guy who plays Thor? Who's writing? I'm writing to you. You're in borrowed time, pal. I'm stepping up.
Regulators!
Yeah, so I have a great moments like that. You're excited to hear my wife so excited over a note. I mean, she wasn't jumping for joy. She's like, thank you so... Like, you hear it in their voice. Seeing my daughters... Seeing Kelsey just lighten up watching Paul McCartney dancing and we have a moment together. And that's it. Life is that. It's moments. If right now you sit there and go... What was the greatest times of your life? There's about three moments you remember immediately. And everything I ever accomplished last night or stand above all. Moments like that. Moments like my daughter call me up and go, Dad, will you please come visit me? I just want to go to dinner. Those are moments. There's no money involved. There's no big thank you involved. There's no, you know what I do for you? Do you realize what I do for you? You have no clue all the things I do for you. Those are moments that you gotta capture. And you gotta resonate. And you gotta feel them. And that's what life, that for me, that's what it's all about. You know what I'm doing this Sunday? This Sunday, and I planned, and I did this, I started feeling this a lot. Maybe it's because I turned 50. More and more, I find myself going, we're planning gatherings. We're in the past, running around with kids. Some of us can't do it because the kids are young, blah, blah. But I am, the older you get, you realize those moments are so big. They're so powerful. They're so needed. They're so healthy. And they're so comforting. Yet we run around this madness and we do it on the computer and the TV and Twitter and this and that. And you keep yourself busy and you read books and then run around. That's your mind being clogged. You can't forget your soul. Your soul is just as important as the rest of your body. Your soul needs to be healthy. And the older I get, I realize the way to nurture my soul... I gotta be around people I love, moments that make me feel like that. Like I'm. So this Sunday, every year, Chester, New Jersey has an October Festival at Chubb Park. The whole family's going there. We're gonna beat the snot out of the place. We go every year. Sometimes we come in packs of 10, 15. We get lit up. That's right, lit up. That's two beers, really. Lit up, dance, play beanbag ball, whatever, cornhole, whatever you want to call it. Listen to the band, eat sausage, bratwurst, big pretzels.
and we laugh hard together. I can't wait to see my niece. She's hilarious. She's big, big, burly laughing. Can't wait to see all my nieces, my nephews. We're going to have a ball. My great nieces, my great nephews. I'm excited about my shows, but I'm more excited to see them. And that's what life's about. And I hope this weekend, if you don't get to see me or get to see me on tour, that you go see and do something that'll cleanse you inside, make you feel good. You don't have to spend a lot of money doing it. Get together with that person you've been dying to get together with. God, I've been dying to call Carol and sit down. Go do it. What's stopping you? Stop talking yourself out of things. Just do it. Life's too short. I don't know. Does this podcast make any sense today? I mean, it was kind of all over the place. Went from McCartney to Moments to my septic costing $1 billion. Smells like ass in my yard. It doesn't matter. I hope you listened. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you didn't go, God, he's boring and annoying. I have a bunch of new dates. I got a tour about to announce. And I just can't thank you enough for listening. Each and every time. More and more of you are listening. And more of you like this style. So, and I talked to my... I promise you. I'm going to get my wife on here. I got it. I'm going to start having my wife at least once a week or every other week. Maybe this Sunday night I can tape her and we can do something. I also talked about the script. Oh, I promise going to be done. I'm not done. I'm 90% done. There's like one section where I'm trying to figure out. But it'll be... I'm still really into it, so that's good. So, all right, hopefully next week I'll have the first rough draft of my pilot episode, and we can go over that. I'm also going to, like I said, I'm heading to Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, and I believe Hanover, Pennsylvania, and then I got some sick trips like Hawaii and stuff like that, and I'll tell you about when that comes. I'm going to go look for flights that I can go visit my daughter down in Florida since she wants to meet a visit. And thank you guys so much for listening. You make my day. Keep writing, keep inspiring me, keep saying hello at the shows, and just thank you so much. Thanks for listening.